Kent Coleman, alcoholic.
Amen.
And so now we arrive at 6 and 7, and we often hear those referred to as forgotten steps, and we hear like, well, there's only a couple paragraphs, and Ralph made a point about that last night, that literally the entire book is about 6 and 7. The entire book is about building, as we talked about in the last session, this relationship with this power, going all the way back to step 2 when it talks about this power inside every man, woman, and child being obscured, or the idea, the fundamental idea of the existence of God, and it's obscured by self. It said pomp and worship of other things. So in 6 and 7, we've done a lot of work since 2. We made that decision in step 3. And then, as Ralph said, putting some feet on that decision in step 4. And we talked about 4, and then the prayers, the third step prayer, the 3 prayers that we have in step 4. Step 5, where we admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. So now we're ready to take a look at, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So first off, and I can only speak for myself and my own personal experience. Whenever I am confronted with a recurring defect, or it doesn't even have to be recurring, if one that just pops up, and it shows itself in inventory, in 10 during the day, or retire at night, my first, and I don't know why this is, my first instinct is always, okay, I don't like that. I know that that's contrary to what my purpose is and to what God would have me to be. So I need to cut that out. I need to cut that out. What do I need to do to change this? I don't have any more power to remove my own defects than I did in step 1. One of the things I've always believed is step 6 is step 1 on the rest of my life. I don't have the power to do so. And that is one of the reasons why I struggle with certain things. There's a prayer there in 6 that if we're not willing, I'll read it out loud. If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. The 6-step prayer. Now, for a long time in the early years, even though that prayer was pointed out to me by my first sponsor, I would go to the 7-step prayer and start asking God to remove something that I wasn't willing to let go of. I'm saying the 7-step prayer on a 6-step issue. One of the things that is very cool and that I love about this is that prior to the publication of the book, they did this with people one-on-one, okay? So if you look at, like, they had that 6-step deal in the beginning, it doesn't have that in there because they did that with you. When they wrote the book, they realized Everything has to go in here. We do not have the benefit of personal contact with people who have this book. So Bill said, we realized that there were some cracks for, that people would fall through with that six-step deal because they weren't there and working with them personally. So it's amazing how when he started to write, and we talk about the divine inspiration here, just as a side note, how it all came out. And then there was 12, because when he went to write that, he is like, what is it that in total we're doing that we need to transmit to those who will get this book? So the six-step prayer for willingness. Because I have defects of character that I know are not useful to me or anybody else that I am not willing to let go of. To me, this is where the rubber meets the road. Gossip, envy, jealousy, these things that came out of my inventory. I referred to them earlier as the comforts that I had created in my life, throughout my life, some of them from a very early age, some of them prior to drinking, that made me feel better. We talk about ease and comfort. And so I constructed this, if you will, wall of all these different stone. This is the meat and potatoes of Kent. These are the things that I've put in place to protect me from the things that I fear. And now you are asking me to be willing to trust God enough to be rid of them. Because in essence, that's exactly what step six is about. We've done, when I look at defects of character, we've done weekends on this. We just on these two steps. And on a daily basis, having identified them in 4 and 5, after my first fifth step, I took the hour, I reviewed the first 5 proposals, I did exactly what I was told to do, and then I said, man, this is some ugly stuff. Do I still want it? No. And I went on to step 7. If you had asked me in my first few years in here, how are you doing with your defects of character, I would have said, oh, I'm doing well. I have not stolen anything, right? I have not embezzled any money from work. I have not pointed a gun at anybody, the things I used to do on a regular basis. I have not done any of those things. So I think I'm doing pretty well. And of course, I was missing the boat entirely. I like how Wilson talks in the 12 and 12 about avoidance of consequence. It's easy to give up stuff that bears consequences that I don't want. It's easy to give that stuff up. I don't want to be, angry enough to kill, right? I don't want to be greedy enough to steal. And those things bear consequence. I don't want to do that. But what about that stuff that lies just beneath the surface that are actually almost reflexes to me? I was talking to somebody, but it's like they're reflexes. It's like I do it just like that. I don't even think about it. I've been doing it so long. Judgment, gossip, envy, jealousy, the stuff that lies beneath these things that, oh, I don't do that no more. This stuff that I've put in place to make me feel better about me. God loved me just as I am. As the years went on, some of these things started to get progressively worse. Nothing ever stays the same. It either gets better or it gets worse. I don't live in a vacuum. Maybe some people do, and you just hit it in neutral and you just stay the same for years. I can't speak on your experience. Mine is not that way. And some of these things have caused me great problems and great pain throughout the years. Some of them I was aware of, and some of them not really until they were revealed to me in such a way I could see them. Because a lot of times that happens through not just the circumstances in my life, but the circumstances in y'all's life. I sit in these meetings and I listen to y'all. And sometimes it's revealed to me that way. Sometimes it's revealed to me through a sponsee and something, and he may be going through or she may be going through, but it always somehow will turn up in inventory, either spot check or at night. And a lot of it has gotten worse before it get better. Who in here got a secret? Who in here is doing something that you ain't telling nobody? Who got a secret? Yeah, I ain't asking for a show. I'm just asking a rhetorical question. Who's got a secret? Who doing something your sponsor don't know about? Who doing something your best friend don't know about? Who's got a secret? We also talked about separating the men from the boys or the women from the girls, or whatever you will, if you please. The first five steps have brought me to this point. The only requirement for the application of the steps is, to the best of my ability, I have applied the ones that come before it. That is what prepares me. Ralph has talked about that a great deal, how preparation has occurred before certain things prepare me for the next thing that the steps are asking me to do. So I'm at this point now. Where it's time to get down to the truth. Honesty is the principle of the first step. And nowhere is it more important, I believe, than as it carries through. Obviously then, that means honesty has to be applied in all 12 steps. But I don't think there's anywhere for me that it's more important than it is in step 6. One of the things that I was taught was to take contrary action and to start to move my feet in a different direction. So the issue is selfishness, right? That is certainly a defect of character. Asking God to provide me with opportunities to practice unselfishness on a daily basis, to start to live opposite of what I'm doing, to start moving my feet in a different direction. What I have learned is that I said a few minutes ago, anything that's left unattended is going to get worse. I've had sponsees who, I like to watch pornography. I give that as an example. And later it's massage parlors. Later it's hookers. Later it's a mistress. Is anybody following me? No, see, I've watched this. Gambling. Start out, tip tickets, right? Then the lottery. Right, and then the next thing you know, what am I trying to do? What am I looking for in all this? I tell you what I'm looking for is I'm looking for some sense of ease and comfort. We were restless, irritable, and discontented. Unless we could again experience a sense of ease and comfort, which came at once by taking a few drinks, but I ain't drinking no more. I ain't drinking no more. So now what? Okay. Well, I've got these steps which enable me to build a relationship with this power, right? Progressively, and I like to say from faith in, and I got to just start walking in that. Even though I don't believe it, even though I don't understand it, at some point, I got to draw the line and I got to start walking that way. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to believe it. I don't even have to believe it's going to work. It doesn't matter. God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. I have found out a whole lot that God ain't worried about what I think. I wonder what Kent's thinking today. I don't think God be saying that. A lot of the things that I have had to do in here is step out on faith. Now, I've got, and this is a crazy thing, I've got tons of evidence. You're looking at somebody who died hitting the pipe, but I'm sitting here, right? I have seen the power of God in action, and I'm quite sure everybody in this room can cite similar things in your own life. My brother died. I seen my mother stand up. We buried my brother. His funeral was in a Catholic church because our church, which hold, I don't know, 1,000 people, was nowhere near big enough. And I seen my mother stand up in front of that church and say that blessings will come from this day. And I saw 2,500 people de-escalate. I have seen, you don't have to tell me. I've seen it. I've seen it. Yet. Some of these things I will not let go. Ralph's brother Ronnie said something to me about a month ago. Let go or be dragged. Let go or be dragged. I don't want to play games with this. I don't want to start trying to justify the unjustifiable. Well, we're not judging, we're just concerned. And you know some of the other crap, right? Well, I know I shouldn't have cussed them out last night, but I'm an alcoholic. No, nah, what you are is a jerk. So this prayer for willingness. I'm asking God to grant it, not for me to make it. And that's an important thing for me to realize. I got this relationship now. I'm living on a different basis, as it said in the fear inventory. This basis of trusting and relying upon God. At what point am I actually going to start putting that into practice and acting like I really believe it? I have had to say that prayer for willingness to have some things removed. And I don't want to get into specifics because some of it is personal stuff, like really personal stuff. And I would have to say names, but and leave it go. And leave it go. I had a really, really serious resentment against some people over some stuff that was going on when I came to y'all. And it was stuff that, you know, people like, they die over stuff like this. And I had to ask God to help me to be willing to be rid of that. And what I'll say to you is, I don't know when it happened. No red light went off. I didn't get a text. But one day I realized that I didn't have that anymore. And that's not something I want to get into, but like some really good things happened after that. I came into contact with these people, and we were able to part in peace. I guess that's the best way I could say it. What I'm driving at here, more than anything else, I said that step six is step one on the rest of my life. And, you know, Wilson said that, you know, if God can remove the biggest problem in my life, which was that obsession, right, then why can't he just remove all of this, right? And he said that he felt that, and I believe it to be true, is that I don't have that level of desperation where it comes, I'm not as threatened by these things as I was by alcohol and drugs. In the 12 and 12 is something very interesting where Wilson says that we aim for perfection. We don't ever achieve it. Nobody ever achieve, only lies with God. But he said, we walk toward it no matter how haltingly, right? My sponsor says, you know, this defect of character thing is like whack-a-mole, right? Like you knock one of them down, you're like, yes, same thing, right? And something pop up over here, right? It's an ongoing thing because I'm an ongoing work in action. I'm a human being. What I have found over time in the progression of recovery is that it's a weird thing. They're less frequent and less severe, but my awareness of them and my desire to be free of them is greater than before. I call it like spiritual sensitivity. It's like there's stuff that I just don't want to be anymore. I'm willing. So I try to take action of somebody who is willing to not be that or to behave that way. I talked about my behavior at work and that I'm not happy with that, right? I talked about fear and how I don't want to visit my fears on people that I love. Right? Yet it's an ongoing thing. Either at some point, and some of you who've been here a while going to understand when I say this, the numbers just fall off these steps, don't they? Back in with Ignatius, God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? It is a choice, and it is my choice. I'm a human being. I have free will. God will not interfere in that even if it kills me. My mother used to say, God would knock at the door. He's really polite. But he won't force his way in. But if you just crack it, willingness to believe, God never goes anywhere. So coming back to, we're entirely ready. How do I become entirely ready? If I'm not, first I have to be honest about it. Being honest about it is not just, I know this ain't good. Yeah, we know it ain't good. Are you entirely ready to be rid of it? And if I can say that I am, then I go to step seven. If I'm not, and I have to be honest about that, then I need to go to that six-step prayer, and I need to stay there until I am. I'm a true, a firm believer that God answers prayer. Matter of fact, I know God answers prayer. That's why I'm here. I also understand that God answers prayers in his time and not mine, and in his way and not my way. And I also know God's ways ain't my ways and God's thoughts ain't my thoughts. My job is to say the prayer and let God do what he does the way he does it. Has not failed when I've been willing to do it, and in a lot of cases, I have not. And I've been dragged. Ever have people tell you things that you do that hurt them and you defend it? Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had people repeatedly tell you things like your tone of voice? Have you heard that one? Your tone of voice. The way you talk to me. The way you look at me. Have you ever heard those things? I've defended those things. No, I don't. See, I'm going to invalidate what you're saying to protect. This is why this stuff don't stop. My mother started saying that stuff to me when I was 8 years old about my tone of voice, the way I talk to people, my attitude, the way I look at people. So I was a kid, and I've always defended it, and here I sit today. I'm 64 years old, and I still got people telling me that same thing. And they tell me that because it hurts their feelings. No, I didn't. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say it that way. That ain't what I meant. I'm going to turn it over to Ralph. Go ahead, Ralph.
Why are you turning it over to me on that note? Leslie was looking at Kent like, yeah.
I ain't looking. I ain't trying to start nothing here, but let's get down to the truth. And why does stuff keep happening? Go on, Ralph.
You know, you sit in the room. Newly, you can listen to this right now. When you sit in the room, you know, sometimes, how many people in here have partners or maestros in the program? And how many have that you sometimes in the same meeting with them? Sometimes you want to listen with they, did you hear that? Now, you ain't realizing that they doing the same thing. Did you hear that? You be like, ooh, this speaker, I like this speaker. When I started going out and, you know, doing some stuff like this, and they'd do talks, and they sometimes you'd have a topic or a step, I used to dread it. I used to hope I don't get 6 and 7, because it was only a couple of paragraphs. And when I was new to this, right, particularly new to embracing the information in here, and like I say, everything is evolutionary. And sometimes I discount people's journey, right? And the first part of the journey is absorbing information. And when I'm heavy on information and light on experience, of course I lean on information. And so I really leaned on information because that's what I had. You know, I'm 70 years old now and I'm 36 plus years in and I'm heavy on experience. You know, I'm heavy on experience, so I'm less patient with the information, and that's not fair, and I realize it, you know, so, but this is transformed now, and I like talking about these particular steps. You know, our starting point for that is of course, when we said, okay, God, I'm taking my hand off the wheel. You know, I want a manager. You know, I get scared late at night. I like to know that there's something I can call on, and something not only that I can call on, something that I can rely on. Wow, that's big. Something I can rely on in when it go bump in the dark. Something that I can rely on when I don't see no way out. And so we do this thing, and the synchronicity of the steps, you guys, we'll see them all the way through. I used to wonder about that line in We Agnostics, what was our choice to be? Either God is everything or he is nothing. What was our choice? Wait, how could it be a choice? If God is God, it don't matter, and I didn't realize it. So when I got to the third step, I affirm, I choose God. I choose power greater than me. I choose that with no name. I can't name it yet. I don't know it yet, but I've been listening to y'all. And there's some people at that place I go to that seem to be smiling, and they come from the same place I come from. Some of those people that place that I go to every day, they stand up and talk about confronting situations I run from. It's some people that seem to know something and know of something, and I'd like to do it too. And so when I could get into this third step, it's not about, you know, when it talks about God could and would if people saw, it's not like you got to look at seek in a different definition. You know, I know Ken often says read the white, but it takes a guide sometimes, because the black on the white is sometimes susceptible to Ralph's interpretation. And there are different meanings of words. So when we talk about seeking this power, we're not talking about hide and seek. God ain't hiding. You ain't going, where he at? No. We talking about seeking the same way I seek knowledge, the same way I seek you a relationship with my girl, the same, that kind of seeking, you know, is what we're talking about. And so, you know, so now that I've embarked on that, and I've embarked on it because you guys have made it, seems like it's necessary for a drunk like me to recover from this hopeless state of mind and body. B, you've also made it seem like, and this is the key for a guy like Ralph, you made it available and you made it accessible and you've not made it seem hard. Sometimes when I was new, there's some people that really put it down and talked about this thing, but it seemed hard. Seemed like you gotta be deep. Ralph and Ken are up there, and don't wait, and wait for Sid. And it seemed like, ooh, they are so insightful. You know, they are so deep. They so heavy. I know, and I'm writing, and I know, but I can't get that. I can't get to where they are. You ain't got to be deep. You ain't got to be heavy. You ain't got to be insightful. You ain't got to be smart. You just got to be broken. And we all get to that state. We come up in here in pieces. And thus we talk about 6 and 7. We come on the heels of a 4 and 5. So I've looked at myself in some various ways. We will talk about these defects of character and we'll give them different names as we go along the way. The first place we'll talk about defects of character, it'll talk about, Ralph, you need to quit playing me. You know the difference between me and God? God ain't never woke up and thought he was Ralph. Quit playing me. Not that I'm mad, not in the biblical sense, not in the there shall have no God before, not because it's bad and you're going to burn in hell, not because any of those. Dude, it don't work. You can't feel the position. You can't sit in that seat. You can try to, and folk know that's what you're trying to do. And they don't appreciate it. A, many of them are trying to do it too. But B, they got their own agenda. You ain't the leading man and everybody. I love it when we talk about the third step and Bill, he analogizes it to, you know, being the producer of a play. And in my play, I'm always the leading man. I don't realize that you are in your own play and I'm a bit player. I don't even have a speaking part. What the hell are you doing talking up in here, dude? And so I'm in collision with people because all the time, you know, so this business of playing God. So that's the first place we talk about defects of character, this God play. How does it show up? So if we take it away from just playing God and talk about how does that look, now I see the defects. How do I play God? I want to control. I want to manage. I want to have the last word. I'm judging. I'm condescending. You know, I'm character assassinating. And, you know, I'm putting the pieces in place. I know better than, you know, that's, oh my God, I'm lecturing. You know, I got all kinds of things to jump off under the umbrella. You know, short version, I play God when I want anything or anybody to be other than what it is. What's God's will anyway? God's will is what's going on. Otherwise, it wouldn't be going on. Do I believe that God is in charge of everything? Yeah. Then whatever's going on is God. Okay. Why you got to put it like that? You know, that's God's will. Everybody in here to be struggling with that. Now, put a big neon sign over Ralph's head right now. You're getting a lot of opinion or Ralph's experience. Because when I go into this arena, talking about this power of which I have very little understanding, but of which I have great relationship. You know, when I start, you can feel free to discount it. But what we have gathered here today is what we have as a means of communication is our words. And so we're limited to that. And so I'm going to give you mine and I'm going to give you my ideas. I'm going to use some metaphors that are I'm going to grant it right now. They are really inadequate. I'm gonna compare God to a human father or a human parent or human figure. Woefully inadequate, but let's do it so we can at least have a frame of communication. frame of reference for that, okay? You know, so we go into that deal, and so that's where. Then we start talking about another piece where we start talking about these defects of character. When I got on my knees in that third step, and what came out of my mouth was, God, offer myself to you. Relieve me, and I thought what should have been coming at that point was, relieve me of this overwhelming desire to drink beverage alcohol. Relieve me of this need to leave the house on Friday and hit the horn every week. Relieve me of that terrible bondage of drugs and alcohol. But that ain't what came out. I call that the bait and switch moment in Alcoholics Anonymous, right? When did I sign up for this program? Relieve me of the bondage of self. What? I was signing up for the Don't Get Loaded program. What happened? You know, whole deal. Ladies and gentlemen, whole deal. You know, relieve me. Another definition of, you know, these defects of bondage of self. And the cold thing about bondage of self, the bondage is self. Self is the prison, you know, and self is goddamn is also the one who puts me in the prison. God damn, that's too much. I know. Don't wrap your head around that. You know, that's AA 101. That's a little advance. You know, self. Ooh, shit. Self got self in jail. Yeah. Self got self wrapped in and what's in the handcuffs itself. God damn. Yeah. That's how cold self is. You know, the bondage of self runs. It's deep when you think about it. I can't get out of my own goddamn way. And I'm the one that's jailing me. I'm the one that's in there. When we go to four, you know, in our fourth step, and we talk about, again, some other ways that we talk about defects of character. We say, let's look at self, the common manifestations of self. Being convinced that self was what had defeated us. Character defect. Again, you know, so our common manifestations. Selfishness, big character defect. Resentment, big character defects. Our fears. Self-centered fear is the chief activator of my character defects. This outlandish, outrageous sex conduct of yours. Not the fact, the act of sex is God-given. Those powers, are, so that ain't the problem. The problem, but that's a window. That's a window. If sex is not the problem itself, but sex leads to so many problems, thus we have why it is that 6 and 7 are so problematic and why they'll never really be taken away from Ralph. Because they arise out of instincts. And the instincts are instincts that also have good purposes too. I have an instinct, and one of the reasons I think in 6 is so important, as Kent said, to realize, you know, to have got to be willing and to identify, because check this out. It's a lot of paradoxes that go on in our program. If you're paying attention, you'll get them. If you're not a bobblehead and just be doing this, because I'll be like, well, wait a minute. In the 6th step, it talks about be entirely ready to have God remove all of. And then in the 7th step, it says, take away all of them except the ones that stand in the way. You know, wait. You're making a qualification? First, in the 6th step, you said all of them and identify them. In the 7th step, you won't even identify them. You won't even identify them. You just say the ones that get in the way of my use. Wait, are you implying that some of them are useful sometimes? What, dude, what the hell is going on up in this place anyway? Well, let's look at it. In the 3rd step, I'm coming raggedy. Raggedy. You know, what I like so much about our program, I'm not saying this is what church said. I'm saying this is what I heard. What I heard is, if you want to join our organization, if you're saying you're going to get down with us, if you're saying you're going to, you know, run our flag or our banner, this is what you promised to do. You're going to be saved, as Kent said, a conversion experience. You promised to stop sinning, i.e. stop chasing, stop tricking, stop having fun, stop doing all the shit you like to do. You promise to do that. when you get up off your knees or when you get up out this water. That's what you promised to do. You come here, you sign on our dotted line, and you say, I'm agreeing to these terms. In Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous, my fellowships, you ain't got to come right to get right. You ain't got to come right to get right. You come as you are when you get on your knees. While you still hoeing, you get on your knees. While you're still tricking, you get on your knees. While you're still embezzling, you get on your knees. While you're still lying, cheating, doing anything it is, womanizing, porn, and all of it, I bring that to the table. I don't wait. If anybody's new to this, I don't have to come in there already. I can't get on my knees because I already know I'm raggedy. I can't get on my knees because I already know I'm scandalous. I can't get on my knees because I already know I'm a fall short. I can't get, no. You come just like that. And I say, okay, God, just like this raggedy as hell, do something with your boy. Do something. And I don't mean a remodel. I don't mean give me some new hardwood floors. I don't mean put some paint on me. I mean tear this shit, tear it down, 4 or 5. We're gonna get into some tear down. And you know, that's why in our book it says, we were reborn. Roots, grass, new soil. I'm not being put in the same, I'm not being re-put in the same pot when you do. No, roots, grass, new soil, whole new deal. Whole new deal. So I come out the third step and then I do the looking. I do the hard looking, you know, in them three areas that Ken already talked about. I look at my resentments, I look at my fears, and I look at my sex conduct over the years past. You know, although in the book it talks about resentment being the number one offender, fear is what drives my bus. Fear is what drives my bus. That's why you look individually. When Bill was putting stuff down, you know, he was writing universally, but I took it and I individualized it for me. Everything in there applies to me. There are some things that in my experience have greater, so for me, fear has always been, you know, the one, and he calls it an evil and corrosive thread, you know, and so it touches everything. And so I go in there and I'm looking, again, chief activator of my defects of character. What's one of my chief defects of character? You know, one of my chief defects, I'm a perpetrator. I'm who I think you want me to be. So I'll lie just to be able to, because I don't think me as I am is enough. I used to walk around in the fellowship for years. Ken mentioned my brother Ronnie, and Ronnie goes out, Ronnie talks a lot too, like me, and Ronnie was a lawyer many years. And I remember walking up to a meeting one time, oh, you the lawyer? And I'm like, yeah, I ain't no goddamn lawyer, you know. I was a paralegal at a big firm, so I worked in the law, I knew enough, but why? Why, you know, I'm not enough, so I'm riding on those coattails. Chief activator, you know, of these defects, and that's a small one. That's a small one. Chief activator of defects of character. What's the fear? She gonna leave me. She ain't responding the way she used to respond. He ain't acting right. Wait a minute, and so now the fear comes in. What does it activate? So now what do I start doing? This is phone. Chief activator of my defects of character. So now I start looking. Now I start sweating you. Now I start, any stalkers up in this piece? You know, it's up in the, you know. Now I start, and so now I bring about what it is that I'm trying to avoid. Why are you sweating me? Why are you all over me like that? Why are you, you know, baby, I just, and so now, chief activator of my defects of character, right? But I don't always connect dots. And that's the other reason why I think the sixth step is so important. Fifth step, you know, is a predicate. It's like the prereq again, because in the fifth step, I see much of the way that I bump against my fellows. I see much of what I've been doing. I see Ralph as tornado. You know, I sit with somebody, and if I got somebody else, and one of the reasons why it's good, it's not mandatory. Confession is very old. You know, in other, you know, places, they call it confession. For us, you know, we have our own form of that kind of accountability and that kind of undressing. We have found that if we hold this the best reason first, we might get drunk if we don't let somebody know, because we're secret keepers, you know. And that's all, in and of itself, that's not a problem. But it's a problem for a guy like me whose solution is the bottle or the pipe, you know, secret keepers. And so when I get free of that, and I, you know, and I, and so in six and in the fifth step, I see. And we have found, many of us, one of the reasons why in our book it says you can go talk to anybody. The early AAs, almost all of them, talk to clergy. Not just the early AAs. My sponsor, when he gives this talk, and my sponsor is 54 years sober, and he says when he got sober, and that was in 1967, in the 60s, in his neck of the woods, a lot of them were still doing fifth steps to clergy, you know. So there's benefit, obviously, just in sharing. We've learned, we found, and I'm using a universal we for many people in this room, that there is an additional benefit in doing it with somebody, an understanding person who knows what we drive it at. We found there is a benefit in doing it with somebody. When the first ones had written this book, they didn't have any people with 20 years, 15 years sober, 20 years sober, 30, so they didn't have that. So they couldn't anticipate and envision what we have now. And what we have now is we have a fellowship, a community that's grown, that we now, self-contained, can share some stuff with one another and can say, I've been in that pothole. I recognize that pothole. We know code. We know what it means. I know what it is when a new guy says, I get paid on Thursday. I know what he's really saying is, check me. That's a danger point. I get loaded on payday. You know, and we know what that means when people say, so I come out of that fifth step and I'm armed and I'm looking at some stuff and I go into the sixth step, you guys, and that sixth step is Kent just so laid it out, you know, now it's another surrender. What makes me willing if I'm not willing? Well, in the book, it talks about pray for willingness. In Ralph's experience, there's another thing, get that ass whooped. That's the best thing that I know. Get tenderized. If you ain't ready, you know, Leslie, you know, she had a sponsor. Leslie shares it with her girls too. Right now, you got a problem. You know, you still got a problem. You know, you still acting out. Said, keep acting out. She'll tell a sponsor, you got a boyfriend, get two. Get two. You know, you get it over with. Get that. Get it over with. Act it out. You know, why that sounds crazy and that sounds crazy, and you know, and that's kind of, but the truth connected to that is there's two kinds of experience. There's taught experience, we read it, other people share with us. Mature people can grow through taught experience. But if you're Ralph White, bought experience. Most of us have to have bought experience. I gotta buy that ass whooping. And when you get one of them, you ain't got to go back there. When you get a good one, you be like, oh, shit, okay. Now I see what steps. You think you know. You be thinking you know what, you know, okay, yeah, I'm what. Keep living. You know, and there is, and I'm not saying this from this high point, oh, this dude, 30 years. What I'm saying is, you know, this comes in layers, these two steps in particular, six and seven. They will visit you in a way that they have not visited you as you stay on this path. They're evolutionary. They really, and it's really no way to share it. It's like sharing with an infant. When you're going to be a teenager, look out for this. Really? You don't share that with a five-year-old? He can hear you saying it, and as a parent, you want to. You know, you just got to sit back and let them have the experience, you know. And so, but here's the deal, you guys. the deal about the sixth step and why it's so important sometime to identify some of these, because I misidentify. Because they're instincts and they'll never be ripped out of me. One of the things that's one of my greatest assets is I'm a good communicator and I'm good with words. Well, I'm also, Leslie will say sometime, you gaslighting. You trying to make me think I'm crazy. You know, you trying to, because I'm using words, right? I'm using words and I'm a wordsmith. And so, but that's an asset. God ain't going to take that out of me. The fact that I have a good, I'm not going to take that out of me. So that is why these problems, the defect of character, that is why they are, we devote specific steps to them, because they are so problematic, because they are part of the human experience. What entity do we know, all of us can agree on, that is without defect? Most of us would probably say God or whatever entity we identify with a higher power, right? To be perfect is to be God. To be human is to be what? Defective. To be human is to be what? Defective. My sponsor says, you know, how many people in here often have heard yourself from a podium, share at a meeting, share in a fifth step, think in your life, man, I had this feeling I ain't enough. How many people have ever felt like that? I ain't enough. I just don't feel like I'm enough. Guess what? You ain't. Don't laugh. That ain't good news. Don't sound like good news. I'm not trying to make fun of you. You ain't. You ain't designed to be enough. Put opinion up here again. I don't believe I'm designed to be enough on my own. I don't believe I'm designed on my own self-propulsion, to be enough. And as I work through this life and I try to navigate through this life on self-propulsion, on self-confidence, some of us once had great self-confidence. Self-confidence is good as far as it goes. It just don't go to distance. It don't go to distance. My sponsor says, you know, it's a design feature. This defect, you could have the best lamp in the world, made out of gold, bomb-ass lamp, sit it right here. If you don't plug it in, it ain't gonna do nothing but look like a good-ass lamp. But when you plug it in and turn it on, now it illuminates as it's designed to. When you plug me in and turn me on, I can illuminate. When you plug us in and you turn us on, we design to be plugged into a power. That's the design feature. I go to God because of my defects. I go to God through my defects. I guarantee you, very few of us, we go now because we've been doing this and it tastes so good and we know it, and we know it for ourselves, and we stay in the middle, and you can't cause it shoulder deep. And when sometimes we get so lit up and so illuminated and so grateful that we go to this power and say, last Sunday I stood in the, and oh my God, I stood in the presence of everything it is that shows me what this power does, and I was filled with gratitude. God, I know you and I thank you. But most of the time, what takes me to this power is what takes me to my knees. It's a portal. My defects of character, I believe, are a portal. They're a window. They're the outlet. They're the place I go to plug in. You know, and so it's a design feature. When we talk about defects, you guys, when we think of defects in a regular sense, when we hear that word a lot of times, when you drive in a car, you hear of a certain model, and this model all has defects, right? And if all four Tauruses made in 2012 have defective airbags, what do they do?
Recall.
And they recall it where? Why? Because the car don't work on itself. 6 and 7. Recall the manufacturer. Car don't work on itself. 6 and 7. Recall to manufacturer. We got design defects. Send them back, Dad. take them, recall to the manufacturer. Oh my God. And here's the good news, you guys. You want some good news?
Yeah.
After all we've been talking about, there's a line that gets said. I think a lot of times folk don't realize what it is. I'm gonna go back to the good news. I just wanted to throw two more things out on the other tip that it might be that people might find helpful in this whole defective character deal, and why it is it's so important when I get on my knees that I'm sometimes kind of clear on it. Because otherwise, when God is doing what it is he do, removing the defect, sometimes I might mistake a defect for that. I was on a meeting and this lady was sharing, and we were doing 6 and 7 not too long ago. And she was and she said, I sometimes have to hold on to the defect. And she was sincere. She said, because sometimes they still working. She said, in certain arenas, And that's not unusual, but this one, she had so deluded. She said, in certain arenas, she says, one of my defects of character is I'm a chameleon. I'm able to read a room, read what people need, read how I need to be with those people, and then I can do. She says, in my workplace, because of the work that I do, and I work with different entities in the workplace, different management styles, different management people, that comes in handy that I can be this different, this chameleon person all the time. I said, well, wait a minute, baby. Maybe the defect, that defect of being somebody that I'm not, that is never. Maybe you misidentifying. And maybe what I'm learning is me, that the reason these people accept me is I'm good at what it is I do. And that is, I think, because I'm still, I think that what it is that makes you accept me is the fact that you don't really know who you're dealing with. And it's my manipulation. Well, Ralph, the fact that your manipulation, take it out the equation. Apparently you're getting the job done. Well, yeah, I'm getting the job done, but it's the fact that I'm making them think I'm somebody I'm not. Don't worry about that. You got it wrong. And maybe, just maybe, when you come out the mask, you're gonna steal. So sometimes I misidentify. The other thing that's important too about being aware of these defects of character and why they're so problematic, because they work so closely. You know, sometimes we say things like, stick with the winners. How many people have heard that? How many people believe in that? That's why you're here. You heard some people from the very first night. Tarek was saying it, Brandon was saying it, I think Kenneth said, going with people and they were lit up. I wanted to go back with those people. I want to be around those people. You would be, and if you go to your sponsor and you talk about being with people who are always, you know, tripping and gossiping, why are you hanging with them, right? So people will say, you need to be discerning. Well, discerning is very close to judging. Very close to judging. You know, I'm a guy of discernment. I'm a guy, Leslie, no. You know, and she talks about it too. I don't attract gossip and I don't really get in. She'll throw some stuff at me about people that's goes, and I'll be stoned. And it's just something I've developed. And I'm not trying to grade my own paper. Tarek knows what I talk about with that. I'm not trying to grade my own paper, but when Leslie spit it back at me, I realized it's kind of true. I don't suffer fools, but by the same token, I can be condescending. I can be abrupt. I can be curt. I can be dismissive. Whew, you guys see the challenge in 6 and 7? You know what I'm saying? So it's one of the reasons why when we go to God and listen to the difference, and then I'm gonna give you the good news. Listen to the subtle differences in the prayers. So when I went to God in the third step prayer, I know I'm raggedy. I don't have no relationship. I ain't seen anything. I'm not on a different basis yet. I have not looked at any of this stuff. I'm just like, okay, I'm just clay. Do something with me. And now I'm coming at the end the fifth, looking at this stuff, looking at who I am. It's like when we first start dating, you know, in the third step, I never would have stepped in one of y'all anyway. You know, that's why it's so powerful about the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to you in that raggedy state. If I walked up to any woman up in here and said, baby, I offer myself to you, you'd have been like, dude, keep it moving. You know, I'm like, ain't got no job. I'm toe up. You know, I'm still, you know. But this power, like Kent said, God ain't never, you know, I have not yet heard anybody report that when they offered themselves to God, he said, no, thank you. I have not heard that reported yet. But I went in there. Now, check out the seventh step prayer. Coming out of the fifth step. Coming out of seeing myself. Kent said coming out of the fifth step, what he looked at with him, he saw an animal when he wrote the fourth step. He saw something that was, he found a lot of stuff objectionable that he found in that fifth step. So now I see in the fifth step how I've been a tornado, and it's been me. And so now I go to this seventh step, and I said, okay, God, I'm now willing, take all of me, good and bad. You read over that, and you may have skimmed through that, and you may not have understood the implications. Take all of me, good and bad. Fellas, ladies, when we start dating, trust me, I wasn't stepping to Leslie knew a lot about me. We have a different relationship. We have been knowing each other for a zillion years before we started down this path, so we knew good and bad already. Typically, when you start dating, you put what? Best foot forward. When you go on your first date, I'm not trying to be taking Sydney to no damn McDonald's. She go, McDonald's? Dude, you know I'm going to make reservations. I'm going to go to a nice restaurant. I'm going to be putting best foot forward. You know, I'm not going to really let you, you know, it takes a while. You know how you first start dating you ladies? It take a while before you want us to see you without your wet makeup, right? You take a minute. You know, you got to be in, you know, before then. You know, most of us put best foot forward. We're not coming in saying, take me good and bad. Take me with no makeup. Take me before I brush my teeth. Take me knowing that I write bad checks. Take me looking at the worst in me. Take me on my days when I'm not, when I am giving tone, like Kent say. Take me, and in the seventh step where I say, God, take me good and bad. What does that sound like? If you've ever walked down the aisle, it says, you know, for better or for worse. It sounds a lot like a marriage proposal. When we get married is what I think about, is the song I think about when I do the seventh step prayer. Oh my God, it's a love song. It's like, okay, we getting ready to go down this road, for better or for worse. Take me like the good and bad. And then it says, take away every single defective character that stands in the way of my usefulness. Every now and then, I was going to talk at a meeting in San Diego on a Friday, and this was a Thursday, and this kid worked for me, and he was kind of slow on the uptake. And I had told him something two or three times, and he came back one time. I said, man, what part of this don't you understand? And I didn't say it in those words. I wasn't that kind. And then I said, we ain't gonna talk about this no more, John. And what we do? And he said, well, Rob, what? I said, man, what part of we ain't gonna talk about this? What the? And I lit in. I went in. And so then I'm like, damn. And I didn't do a 10th step. I didn't do an 11. I didn't pause. I didn't clean it up. But I got to speak tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. I'm at home that night. I go to work for Friday. I'm not ready to do the, but I don't mind. And when you've been speaking, you know, you don't never know what's going to come out your mouth. And usually what comes out of my mouth is present business, you know, and I don't mind that. But when I let you see, you know, me with my pants down, I like you to hear the happy ending. You know, so I don't like to leave it hanging. I cuss the dude out at work and that's, huh? What? That's it? So, you know, I'm like, damn. And so this is when every single defect of character, that defect, wanting to look good, wanting to do, it didn't matter to John why it is that I clean that up. But I said, John, let me holler at you. And he came back. I said, man, what I did to you yesterday was totally unacceptable. It was totally unprofessional. It was totally disrespectful. And you won't ever have to worry about, oh, Ralph, man, because he was, you know, people get uncomfortable with that. And they want to give you away. No. I don't get off the hook on this one, buddy. I'm dead wrong. And as I'm doing it, don't worry about being fake or phony. As I'm doing it, the sincerity comes out because I'm really there. And I really am the kind of guy that don't like hurting people. And it really was coming over me when I see this young man and we talking. And it was like the humanity of the whole deal. You know, so I no longer worry about how I think in advance, because I won't do the right thing sometimes thinking, oh, this is some hypocritical book. Do you know, clean that shit up. If you owe somebody some money, don't worry about what it looked like. Oh, I'm a telltale. Don't worry about it. That money still feel good getting back to them. You know, don't trip. But I'm there. So I looked at that and I thought about, wow, that's what they talk about, every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness. That defect of mine, one little girl, was very useful in that moment. And so I did it. Now, coming out of that step, you guys, we've been talking a lot about God don't make hard terms. Very true. But you know who does make hard terms? In the program. We do. Folk do. Sponsors do, members do, I do, well-intentioned people at the podium do, you know, make hard terms. Work the steps or die, you know, you got to write this. No, that ain't what that said. You know, I was so glad when Kent talked about it. I'm content, not format. People used to be, that ain't a good, tear that up. That you didn't do a good enough job on that. Bring that back to, we make hard terms. You got a guy coming out of the dope house, ain't never wrote nothing, ain't never done. I'm a writer. That's what I do. It's my wheelhouse, like I say. And so it's my blind spot. Sponsors, be sensitive to your blind spots. There are guys that don't, this pen represents kryptonite. They don't write. From the time they were in the second or third grade, when they were called to the blackboard, they were embarrassed by that. And many of you guys that sponsor people, you'll tell other people, this dude don't want to do the work. This dude ain't interested. They're dragging their feet. And fear often looks like defiance. Folk won't say I can't. They'll say I won't. Folk won't say I'm scared. They won't even identify it as that. It's my job, you know. And so I'm one that's really, really, really sensitive to that kind of deal, right? Folk made hard terms with those who seek him. Man, don't be bringing me this bullshit. Here's somebody that was smoking a month ago. Ain't never looked at themselves. They've been sitting up doing top ramen, walking the yard, talking shit, and they choose you. They choose to allow your voice to be louder than their head. Why are you saying this, Ralph? I said it because I have done things that, you know, in sponsorship. Ken and I may get to talk about that. I've made mistakes. I've done stuff. I've been kind of, folk make hard terms. God don't. I'll tell you something. When I do the third step prayer, and I do the seven-step prayer. Those two contracts, you know, in contract law and in contracts, essential to a contract is the benefit, you know. What is it, you know, that one side is getting and the other side is getting? You know, both sides are getting something. When I do the third step and when I do the seventh step, God is doing a lot for me. He's taking away some stuff in me that has not been benefiting me. He's taking away from stuff in me that has been causing me problems with other people. He's building me and he's doing something with me. He's allowing me to overcome some difficulties in my life so I can come tell you something about it. He's given me a job. He's my employer. He's given me in a position. He's treating me as if I'm his own. He is the Father. We are His children. I'm His agent. He's a principal. It's a lot in it for me in that third step and in that seventh step, in that contractual relationship, you know, if you will. And no, don't look at it totally like that, but what's in it for God? Why would God be doing all this anyway? What's in it? They had a party for me last Sunday. Big party. I was in a tuxedo. You know, Leslie can send you the pictures. Your boy was looking good. He's looking good. He was looking good, T. You know. And my daughters got up, and they're amazing. And my daughters and my son, I have a stepson, and I don't talk about him a lot, but he's 43. And he talked about, "Pops, everything I know about being a man, I got from you. I had him when he was 8. He came in my life. And we went through some rocky times. I went to court with him. He got a case, you know, all this knucklehead, you know, put him out, raised up on him, just all kind of stuff. And he was so moving. And then my oldest daughter, Rain, she cried the whole time. She's like, "I'm daddy's girl." She's the one I told you about. And then my daughter, River, who put it on. And I stood back, you guys, and that was it. That's all I needed. I didn't need my kids to do, I didn't need just them being them, them being whole, them being together, them looking out for each other, them being who it is that they, that's my purpose, that's my legacy. I wanna let you guys know, when we talk about God don't make hard terms, God is thirsty for you. God is thirsty for me. We talk about this seeking as if it's hard. That's all. That's all. I believe, Kent mentioned it, there's God's will, there's free will, and there's self-will. And God loves me enough, He won't impose His will on mine. He gave me something He didn't reserve for any other animals on the planet. He gave me free will. He gave me something that is designed to individuate me. But in that, there are prices to pay for that, right? There's separation that comes in that, but there is a great benefit in that. Dogs in the street, a male dog see a female dog in heat, he don't have to know her, he ain't courting, he rushing her, right? That's just that. That's what animals in the wild do. But Ralph is individual. He gets to say, "Damn, Leslie catches my eye. That's who I want. He gets to say, "Kent is a guy that I hit it off with." He gets to say, "Wow, Sydney, you blow me away. I want to call Sid." He gets to discern. He gets to make choices. He gets to be who he, and that's the great thing. We're not talking about being robots when you come on this spiritual path. We're not talking about on the road to happy destiny. We sitting up here trudging the road. We're not talking about goose stepping the road or, you know, no. You got your own goddamn walk on this road, a happy destiny. Some people are walking. Some people are limping. Some people are skipping. Some people are hopping. But we on the same path. Get your walk on this road. So inside that free will, I think the best, and I think here it is again, disregard God. Ralph don't know nothing about what God do and why he do, but I think the best that comes is I put them here, and what I get out of it is when they get out of it. As a daddy, that's all I don't want. My kids can't give me money. I don't need accolades. I don't need adulation. We do a lot of talking about worshiping God. It ain't for God, it's for us. I need to be right-sized. I need to know my station. God ain't tripping like that. He ain't, you know, he ain't like one of these rappers, one of these, "Oh, I need you," you know, shouting me out. No, not for that. I need to shout him out so y'all know. that it ain't me. I need to shout him out so I know. You don't need shout outs. My daughters, they were doing that, man. I was so full and it came to me. If that, and I'm a microcosm, if it does that for me, imagine this power. He don't do but one thing. He don't have no other aspect. His aspect is grace and love. That's it. That's it. He don't have the judge aspect. He don't have the, now, religion made me believe he did. In fact, religion made me think that was his main, no, didn't make me think. As a result of my understanding or my interpretation or my misinterpretation of religious folk, I believe that was God's main job. Checking the box, checking the list, checking it twice. Nope, you go over here. Nope. But now my own personal belief, and if it's wrong, it just is. But it's comforting for me right now to believe that God is, he do one thing, he keep God. God is love. That's what God is. One thing, he shoots out grace. And he's thirsty for me. Just because I'm here, he's thirsty for you. He don't make hard terms. All this other shit people be talking, all this other stuff I be talking, you be talking, get out of that. He ain't making hard terms. That's me. You got to do it like this. You got to say it like that. You an untreated this. You an God don't make hard terms. Ralph, you my boy. All you got to do is seek me. All you got to do is want relationship. I don't do like the girls on this earth. They be like, I ain't dancing with you. No. Just, I got you. So that's the good news. Coming out of 6 and 7, God is thirsty for us.